Once a month, we talk about home improvement and repair on the program, and I think every one of those programs is certainly useful to me. I learn a lot, and I hope that you do as well. And today, I think we have an especially important and helpful topic to cover relating to that. Larry Mueller here. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Net. We're going to be talking about how to build or remodel a home that is accessible and comfortable for everyone who lives in it over time. So whether it's a child or maybe it's a senior that you want to accommodate, or somebody with a permanent or maybe even a temporary disability, broken leg or whatever, the concepts of universal design are certainly going to help. And we're going to be talking about that with a couple of guests. Chad Spate of Chad's Carpentry comes by every couple months to share information on making sure our homes are in good shape and as energy efficient as possible. And Chad, thanks for being with us again. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
And welcoming today for the first time, and with Chad, we have Larry Taff of TZ of Madison Incorporated. TZ of Madison Incorporated is a family-owned business. They've been around since 1992, so a long time. And they do a lot of work in this area. And Larry, it's great to have you with us as well. Thank you for coming by.
Great to be here, Larry.
We have, and certainly as we go along and talk to our two guests, I hope you'll join in. Are there aspects of your home that concern you as you or a loved one ages? Areas of your home you wish were more accessible? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, email talk@wpr.org, or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment, even a photo, right there. Let's talk about some of the basic concepts of this whole business of universal design. What is it's a home for everyone and anyone at the same time, I guess, isn't it, Larry?
That's the biggest big picture, is that it's available for everybody. The reality is a lot of people want specific needs for themselves, but the universal design is worldwide, and it's that everybody from all generations, multi-generational, from the grandchildren to the grandparents, could live within the home. There are specific needs that everybody has, but ideally, if you had an unlimited budget, you could do everything that was needed to make it universal.
Yeah.
That isn't necessarily what happens, but that's what it means, is universal.
Okay, and what are, give us some examples of the kinds of things that we can incorporate into a universal design.
Well, one of the most important is that you have a zero-step entrance, so that you don't have any steps mm-hmm. coming into the home. You have better traffic patterns coming in, into the bathroom, into the kitchen, into areas that you use. A lot of time that's simply picking up stuff that you don't even realize is you can trip over. Having better lighting, which includes not having glare off of shiny surfaces, location of switching and lighting, better plumbing fixtures. A lot of the universal design is compatible with, you know, lessening your footprint, because when we look in, and I mean, Chad does the same thing, in remodeling or rehabbing a home, you try to make modifications that are going to last and increase the value for anybody that owns a home. Universal design, with the recent downturn that we've had in the economy, is really the number one thing that you get a better return on value, because we're all getting older.
Yeah.
And there's going to be just a huge, there's a shortage of accessible universal housing nationwide. Yeah.
And here we've got, Chad, the baby boomers entering a period of life when, you know, there's more accommodations might be needed.
Absolutely. I mean, as people are contemplating moving into eventually assisted living or places, a nursing home or something like that, I mean, you know, that's very expensive. And so if you can take the home that often has been paid for or is it close to being paid for and make it so that you can continue to live there safely and comfortably, that's a lot of money to be saved.
Oh, absolutely. Larry, you're going to add something there, too.
Well, one thing that people don't really contemplate or won't admit to themselves is how much they want to be at home. And from my experience in families and people I've worked with, Once they are forced to be in a rehab center or be out of the home, they do not want to leave that home, and that's when they'll unfortunately make modifications when it's an emergency. And it's much better if you can plan ahead of time and think about that, just like you do your retiring. Do I want to stay in this home? Is it going to allow me to be here safely and let the rest of the family maybe help me out?
Let's talk about some specific parts of the home, maybe. And let's take, well, the bathroom's probably one area. I know when my dad suffered a stroke, you know, he was always in pretty good health, but then suddenly we had to make modifications in that bathroom, and it had to be made pretty quickly because, frankly, the bathroom wasn't set up for somebody with balance issues, for example.
Yeah, so one of the common things that is done in a bathroom is to make it so that you can get into the tub or the shower with little or no curb. Ideally, you have a curbless shower. And this is an improvement we've made for many clients, and I'm sure Larry can talk about a lot of projects that they've done. Something that I always stress to any client is that if we can create a curbless shower, how nice is that? You don't have to worry about, you know, stubbing your toe when you're getting in and out of your shower. And if there is room to create such an entrance into the shower, it's just a quality of life improvement. And another thing, and Larry alluded to this, is often the size of a bathroom in a home is not big enough to really make it accessible. And so sometimes we have to look at taking a little bit of room out of an adjoining bedroom or something like that, so that the bathroom really is large enough to be accessible, functional. Given the fact that we all need access in our bathrooms, it's a very necessary room. A little money spent there making it as it should be will go a long way for that homeowner and then for a potential buyer down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking today with Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry and Larry Taff of TZ of Madison Incorporated, family-owned business since 1992, visiting with them today about home repair and issues of that nature, but creating a home that's really accessible to everyone. And there are lots of things that we can do in our own homes. You may have some questions for them. I hope you do. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Also be interested in your own experiences. Maybe you've done some work or had some work done for you that helped your needs in creating your home being accessible to you and to anyone else who comes by. So the number, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. So bathrooms, obviously, are pretty important. Kitchens, another area of... And Larry, what about kitchens? What are we looking for in a kitchen?
Well, you are trying to, in whether it be the kitchen or the bathroom, create more space. And that's difficult without moving walls and or putting an addition on. And that's the biggest obstacle, particularly in getting back to bathrooms. I think Chad can agree that most bathrooms were built probably in the 50s or earlier are 5 feet wide, because that's the standard tub, by 7 feet long. And in that 5 feet width, they have a vanity and a stool, and the most doors are 2 feet to 2 feet four wide. That's too narrow to get a walker or a wheelchair in, let alone turn around. And so, depending on what the budget is, we have to work around how to make it more accessible. And the same thing applies to the kitchen, which you just talked about. And again, it depends on the individual and what the needs are, but we've opened up cabinets so that you can roll underneath the cooktops, get appliances which have controls that are easy to reach if you don't have real good upper body strength, that you can reach mm-hmm. into, changing light switching or disposals so that they're easy to get at. Having with people with a poor sight, having contrasting colors from the counters to or different where there's a hot space on a stove is helpful. Better lighting. There's just a multitude of things.
Ellen in Oshkosh has a comment for us. I want to go to her. Ellen, hi. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from the caregiver perspective. And I've done work with my own family. My own mom died with us in our home. And we had a wonderful, beautiful experience. And I've done work with the elderly in their own homes and in assisted living and nursing home settings. And the only comment I have as I hear these phenomenal opportunities for upgrades and functional changes that can be done to a home is that, yes, these are financially much more attractive because, you know, the cost of assisted care is out of this world. And it's probably never going to quite be what a family might want, you know, or be able to offer. But sadly, there are a lot of families that just aren't able to be there and help or aren't just equipped. Their personalities aren't such that they're able to do that kind of thing. And I have seen often those kinds of families, because it's less expensive, fix up someone's home so they can be on their own. And then the tragedy is they're really on their own. And there's, you know, you don't have that socialization. And you might have somebody checking in. And yes, the home is remarkably well adapted for them, but it's not a good quality of life. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of a different perspective. And I'm very excited about, and I have great respect for your guests and the work that they do, because I think it's phenomenal. And I think that's the best possible thing. If your family and your friends can help you to be in your own home, in your own space.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of cases where, you know, all of these externals are done and there isn't somebody there.
Yeah.
And that's, I just wanted to address that and bring that forward because the quality of life isn't just about the functional part.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly right about that. Ellen and Larry, let's go to you first for comments.
Well, I totally agree with you, Ellen, and part of being in this business that I am is I become as much a social worker or an advisor as a contractor. And there's been many times where people are talking about that, and I can think of one within the last couple of months that. The husband, unfortunately, had to go to a rehab center. The wife had a terminal illness, and she was trying to make all these decisions. And she called me up one day and just said, I think we're both going to have to go to a rehab center. And I said, I totally agree. You know, I'd like to do the job, but that isn't the most important thing. And that's where the family members and support staff, it becomes much more involved when we're working with people to make sure that that's the right decision. And even though people don't want to be in those facilities, for their own safety, they won't even let people out of a rehab center unless they know that it's safe to go back home.
Right.
They'll try to
right.
kick you out before you're ready, but they still don't want you to go. That's my experience.
You know, like you say, you're working with the whole picture and doing social work as well as your contracting work. But I guess, you know, the situations that I've seen like this are just money driven. You know, like you say, yes, it's absolutely cost less if we can make your home handicap accessible, if we can improve the lighting and the, you know, accessibility of everything. But sometimes that's the adult child who has power of attorney and power of health care, and they don't want to spend the money to to put them in a home.
Or they have other
family
members.
So they just kind of shrivel up. Yeah, so they just kind of shrivel up in this nicely adapted home.
And you want, and you don't want that to happen.
No.
But it does. Ellen, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call very much. And certainly you can join in, too, with your questions, Dan, and Stephen's point. We'll get to you in just a minute. How about you? If you have a question or comment as we talk about creating a home that's accessible to you and everyone else, all of your friends and relatives, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry, Larry Taff of TZ of Madison, Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us as we talk about creating an accessible home for everyone. Larry Mueller here with Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry and Larry Taff of TZ of Madison. These guys have had a lot of experience in certainly home renovation and repair, even building new homes, and working these accessibility factors into the homes. And certainly we hope you'll join in with your own questions, comments, or experiences. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Dan and Stevens Point, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi there, and just wanted to share my own life experience with a universal accessibility home. About 10 years ago, we built our home. Neither of our parents at the time could enter the home that we had because it had a large front porch, big steps going up to it, big steps in back. They couldn't come into our house. When we built our new house, we made sure it was universally accessible. And there are 1,000 benefits to it. It's not just for people who are elderly. For we who are there 24/7, it's wonderful. We can move furniture around through the doors without having to worry, are they going to be large? Is it going to fit kind of thing?
Yeah.
There are no doorknobs. There are door handles, and that makes getting in and out easy even when you're holding things or things like that. Extra space in the bathroom, of course, comes in handy. It's nice to have that whether or not you're in a wheelchair or whether you have accessibility problems. But for 1,000 different reasons, it's been a wonderful choice. We also made our home a passive solar home when we built it, and that was nice, saved us on energy, and eventually we were able to put some active solar features on it. But whether or not you are elderly, a universal accessibility home is just a wonderful thing to have.
Oh, well, thanks a lot for calling, Dan. Appreciate it. And you know, as you think about building new, is that going to cost you a whole lot of extra money? Probably not, is it, Larry?
It may add a small amount of square footage, but very minimal. You know, the most expensive parts of a home are the bathrooms, the kitchens, and the windows, and the rest of it is space. And so if it's planned ahead, very little, if anything. But the value, as the last caller just mentioned, we kind of focus because we don't realize we need it, a lot of people, till you have an age. But it has nothing to do with age. The universal is that it can be used by everybody, and that you come in the home, unless you mention, you just say, oh, it's all on one floor, it's got more room in the bathrooms, it's easier to get around. Oh, this is called universal, and that's what we're trying to get across.
Adele in Dubuque, Iowa, it's your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. There are lots of issues that I didn't realize that became accessibility issues, and one of those is my windows. I cannot change the screens, and they're the screens that you have to put on when you open the window. You no longer have the safety of the lock to the window. And so I have not been able to have open windows since I moved into this house. Some of the other issues that I've dealt with and discovered were that the ramp that we built of the treated wood is a lot of upkeep and more than I can do. So I would really encourage people to go with the less intensive work type of ramping materials, such as metal or the composites.
Mm, yeah. Well, these are good points, Adele. And Chad, a comment from you and Larry. Let's get some comments.
Well, certainly the whether or not you can use a window, I mean, that's something that we talk about with every client, as we should. And, I mean, I think that's something that we always come back to is issues of how easy is it to use the things in your home apply to all of us. But when you think about it, if you don't have a lot of strength or if you can't easily get up over a counter or something, you're never going to be able to use, for example, the window over a kitchen sink. It becomes almost impossible for many people to use it who are otherwise able to do many things. So it's one of those things that we often discuss with our clients. We were talking earlier about, you know, does it cost more? So many things, like just putting large doors everywhere. We often enlarge doors when we're remodeling, but when you build new, you almost always put in larger doors, not only because code requires it, but because people see the value in having that ease of getting around. And certainly how a window functions. I mean, windows are tricky. There aren't many windows that I would say are
User-friendly.
Yes, user-friendly for people of all abilities for operating them.
Or financially feasible. Cost is always a consideration, and you can get automatic electric operating windows and blinds and things like that, but they typically
it's a big cost with that.
Well, they can be two or three times or more cost, and people opt to instead essentially live with what they have and get somebody to assist. It's more important to be able to use the bathroom or the lights than to open and close a window.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Adele, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the call very much. Judy in Lodi, we turn to you next. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing?
Great. Pretty good.
I live in an apartment building that has, it's supposed to be accessible to disability people, which I am. The doors going in and out are so heavy that I have to use my back end to get them open to get my walker out. And the ramp, you know, that little piece under, I forgot what they call it, to get over it, I have to lift mine to get it over that piece, and that's going in and out. It's only accessible to get in with a code, and you've got to hold the door open and try to wiggle yourself through, plus your walker. And this has been ongoing forever since I've lived here. The building is virtually, and the front end is really nice, the whole building, but the back side where I live is deteriorated so immensely. They've been telling me for 7 years, since I've lived here, they're going to remodel, and they haven't done it yet, and the doors haven't been touched, and it's really, really, it's getting really on my nerves, because now I've got also glaucoma and macular degeneration, and I've got permanent nerve damage in my legs, so it's really, really hard to get through those doors.
Oh, boy. Lots of issues there, and that's... In some ways, it's on our track. It's certainly on the track of the program, but it may be a different area than where we have capabilities. But how about it?
Chad, we were talking earlier about how you can have a window that's a power assisted window, and certainly we do see power assisted doors. I'm thinking of one project where we did install such a door, That, interestingly enough, is common enough. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's also fairly common, so it's not as expensive. A power window is a real, unusual thing still. And so it's interesting how, just by virtue of talking about this and with the callers, and of course we see it in our work, You know, there's so many needs out there that still are not necessarily being addressed or being thought about. And we have to come up with creative ways to help solve those problems. So.
Yeah. Do you know, just a question on the door that you said is so hard to open, is there a automatic door closure on it, I assume?
It just closes by, like air. I mean, it doesn't...
Just automatically closes?
Yeah.
Okay, they don't automatically close. There's probably a auto-closing hinge on the door, or there could be a door closure that they don't see that may be able to be simply modified. Even sometimes those hinges, there's three on a door, and by reducing it to just one that closes or adjusting that, that may be a way to have less pressure on the door. When you're in a multi-unit apartment building, there are they're called ADA that apply to commercial buildings, which is more stringent than residential. That doesn't apply to residential homes. So you may want to point that out to the owner of the building that, you know, they need to make sure they're complying with code.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks. And good luck, Judy. I appreciate your call, and I hope we can get this worked out for you. Appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling. And Susan in Junction City, we'll turn to you next. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Back to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Grab bars are so helpful inside. And I have one of these... affairs where the tub and the whole thing is walls and everything are one big chunk. But the carpenters building knew where the studs were, and they put a chrome bar vertically on one end, and at the other end on the faucet end, they had one put against the little wall portion for that end as well, and that has helped me to be, while things are tough, I'm a long ways away from having to have... what the lady suggested. Grab bars are cheap. Now, my mom, in taking care of my dad when he was going downhill, even put a grab bar, mounted it safely, outside the door where he gets out of the car, that he can grab this on the wall to help him stabilize. So even there, a cheap thing meant a great deal. And another thing for the bathroom is... be aware of the enclosed bathrooms. If your person needs help and you don't have the curtain type of covering there, it's hard to get somebody up and around behind that glass enclosure. And then another thing is mentioning the spray hose. There are a lot of attachments that can go so somebody can use a bath seat and be there and so on. But totally different point was the socialization issue. Just because somebody is somewhat disabled or even homebound does not mean they do not have a social life. People come here all the time. Someone brought me a bouquet of flowers last night. I mean, hey, you know, you don't have to be extremely awful to, you know, to manage fine at home. And I know there are other things, but that's all the time I will take unless you have a question of me.
Okay. Well, Chad, a comment?
Well, yeah, those are a lot of great comments, and it reminded me of that issue of isolation and certainly the importance of social contact. And I wanted to mention the one thing that we've done for a variety of clients over the years is we've added an apartment in the home, often in the lower level in the basement, and that has been done in keeping in mind planning the potential that if there were ever to be a need for a live-in assistant of some sort, that they might have that potential to offer that. And of course, nowadays, a lot of people just rent out that space as just a way to, you know, have some rent. But it definitely applies, and we've done it for some folks who have a home that has the space to be able to better accommodate another person being around. And it's also similar to that notion of the in-law suite, which as well, often that suite is done with accessibility in mind so that a parent can move into a home, and then you are able to have not only that social interaction, but an individual is able to get around safely and more independently.
Oh. Larry, a comment too?
Well, one of the comments that really strikes a nerve with me is grab bars and how easy they are to put in. But my best comment I could make is most people would rather fall down than admit they need a grab bar, including my personal experience with my mother and father and other clients that I've used. And there's a stigma that people would they think that by a friend coming and visiting that they have a grab bar, they're going, oh, look, they need a grab bar.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be put that way. When we've put in simple things like even in a hallway, a hand bar that you would, like you'd have in your stairs along one wall gives you something to grasp so that if you lose your balance, it makes it safer to travel from one place to the other. There's lots of and even putting one in a bathroom along an entire wall. We finished with a polyurethane marine spar varnish so it could not only use it as a grab bar, but a place to hang towels up, and it's secured into the studs so it will hold you up. One of the pet things that I don't like is if you, even in the Madison area, try to get grab bars and call some of the big box stores, the only thing that they have are the suction cup grab bars. Do not use those. When you need them, they'll fall off. Have somebody that knows how to find the studs, and they also make special fasteners now that you can drill in without going into the stud that'll hold up over 200 pounds just in drywall. So that's a huge, simple thing to do, but saves people's lives and thousands of dollars of rehab, because when you fall and break your hip then it's too late.
Yeah. And Will in Ashland, we turn to you now. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good.
I'm loving this topic. I am in a wheelchair. I've been in a wheelchair all my life. And about 10 years ago, we had our house redone. And I just wanted to make the folks that are listening be aware of the different contractors and be involved in what's going on, because I trusted these contractors. The county paid for our remodeling and did nothing that we asked. I mean, it was all completely different than what we asked. And it's accessible. I mean, they made the doors bigger and they made the bathroom bigger, but it's just like, for instance, you guys were talking about the grab bars. Well, instead of putting them horizontally like I could have used, they put them vertically.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and they're useless to me. So,
oh god.
Yeah, like I said, I just wanted to make, you know, folks aware that they need to be actively involved in what's going on and not just think, "Oh, well, this contractor's coming in, you know, he's going to make my house ADA and, you know, everything's going to be cool." Cuz it doesn't always work out that way, you know.
Yeah, and good points. And Larry, comments?
Well, when we do, for instance, a bathroom, it is so hard for anybody, and I'm sure Chad will say this, to conceptualize what the finished place is going to look like. You can have the best drawn architectural renderings. You can't conceptualize, nor do you know what your body strength is. And so we have an allowance, and we'll talk about the different types of grab bars, because they make toilet paper holders, all kinds of things that are grab bars. But an inch or two being put on horizontally, vertically, or on an angle makes a huge amount of difference to each individual. And if we're doing a bathroom completely, I'll try to put blocking, put another half inch of plywood everywhere, so that you can add a bar anytime, anywhere.
And Will brings some good points up, and you had some great comments, but what does, for people like me or Will or anybody else, what questions do you ask a builder or a contractor before you hire them, you know, to make sure that you're going to get your needs met?
Well, you know, one thing that I want to mention, and I mean, nothing is foolproof, but certainly there are certifications out there in universal design. I know Larry has that certification. I don't. But the National Association of the Remodeling Industry offers certification in that. So, you know, there's something that, for example, if you're wondering if your contractor has the expertise and training, you know, there are things like that that show a level of professional commitment that are important. And certainly talking to professional remodeling associations and then, you know, following up with other individuals. I think any contractor that has done this sort of work or any particular specialized work should have, if they have experience doing it, then there are people that they can give as references to a potential client who they can talk to and find out, you know, how much care did they take in actually listening to the needs of particular clients and delivering what they said they were going to deliver. So on those points.
You always should ask for references, and not only ask for the references, call. And I mean, ask for three or four, and as in all construction, new construction, remodeling, somebody that does can do a garage or a shed can't necessarily do a universal design or certified aging in place. Chad mentioned NARI, the National Association of Remodeling Industry, has the Universal Design Professional Recognition. It's a 12-week class, full-day test out. I actually helped create that with NARI National back 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Once I helped develop it, I thought, well, I might as well get the take the test and get the certification. I think I was the second one in the country. But the Home Builders Association also has, it's called CAPS, Certified Aging in Place Specialists. I don't like the acronym because we're all living in place. I don't know about aging part of it. I'm 61 myself. But look for those types of certifications and definitely call people to find out if they've done that type of work and if they're happy. And hopefully they've done it for a few years so you can talk to somebody that's experienced it and, you know, did they listen to you? Did they, like the last gentleman, put the grab bars where you needed them? Or was it just a matter of wham, bam, done, and see you later?
And, well, thanks again for calling. I appreciate your call. Interesting times here talking about creating a home that's accessible to you and your friends and your family. I'm Larry Mueller with my guests today, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry in Madison, Larry Taff of TZ of Madison Incorporated. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We have links to their sites, and you can learn more about their organizations and their businesses as we visit with them here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Net. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry in Madison, Larry Taff of TZ of Madison Incorporated. And we are talking with them today about creating a home that's accessible to everyone. You can join in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've had some experiences, too, that you want to share. I hope you'll join us. Again, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Jane in Fitchburg up next. Jane, hi.
Hi. Well, my parents bought a two-story house without a first-floor bedroom, and they were about 90 at the time. And so we designed and built an addition for them that was kind of like a combination bedroom, sitting room, dining area, bathroom, and a large deck. And we had a wonderful experience with our builder that, I mean, we were communicating with him every step of the way. And when we did the bathroom, we just, first thing we knew, we wanted grab bars and no towel bars, because our father had already had several experiences with towel bars in the previous home. And one thing that I think was really helpful was that when it came time to install the tall bar, the grab bars. We went there and we sat on the toilet and we got in the tub and, you know, so that we could see exactly where we wanted them put. And they were all put just really in good places. For example, if a person is sitting on the toilet and can't get up, even though we had a, one of those frames around the toilet with bars on it to help them, it was really helpful to have a grab bar right across from the toilet and to have the right amount of space that a person could easily reach for it and not put themselves at danger. So the one place we didn't put a grab bar that we wished we had and we could have in the end, if we had wanted to, was across from the bed, right between the two. There was a space between the two closets where our father always would reach there, and he would hold on to the door frame. But it would have been a nice place to have a grab bar.
Between the closets. Well, great comments, Jane. Chad, a comment from you?
Well, it's nice to hear that you had a contractor that gave you a good experience for one thing, because there are a lot of us that certainly try hard to be responsive to our clients, and the points you make are just so critical, because if you're not if a contractor is not working with a client to meet their particular needs and to you know, I'm reminded of the value of making that phone call 3 or 6 months after a project and saying, how are things going? You know, is there anything else that maybe a little detail that we missed or something that might be helpful? You know, that grab bar between the closets would be a nice touch to be able to come back and install, you know, as a thank you for the business. So I just, you know... those were all good,
good
comments.
Points. Yeah. Thanks, Jane. Appreciate it very much. John in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'm a contractor as well. And I think, we do ourselves as contractors good service if we look at an older couple and before they actually even need it, we decide in their best interest to go ahead and try and put in some of these backers in the walls, look at the shower situation, look at the stool situation, and see what we can do and recommend to do it better before they're actually in this position. I had this happen to me, and I've been paid back by many, many thank yous from having this foresight from an older couple that are still having some ongoing issues that I try to resolve as a friendship deal. And I think everybody as a contractor has to start looking at some of these issues.
Yeah.
Widening the doors, different issues, whether the people want to do it or not. I think you do yourself a better service by doing it and bidding it right and doing it right, and even if you don't get the job. Mm-hmm. Because I've been thanked many, many times for this circumstance before.
Yeah.
Part of my standard contract is I have a paragraph that says, you know, you need to look at the universal design issues, and I bring it up with everything. In reality, in the remodeling that we do, the universal design is a very small part of what we do, percentage-wise.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably 5-10%.
Yeah.
But that 5-10% makes them live in their home much safer, and they just enjoy being able, at least it's been brought to their attention at the time that we do it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, and I'm sure Larry would agree with this, that there are a lot of things that these experiences help us to push forward certain things on many of our projects, you know, so that we are taking these things into account and we can help potential clients without any stated need for universal design. You know,
exactly.
Middle-aged people who are many years away from necessarily having these needs, but by pointing out the value of just comfort and enjoying your living in your home more, with the added, you know, benefit of being there, being ready, as you have these needs, the house will continue to meet your needs. You know, it allows us all to do a better job. So those are excellent comments, John. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate it very much. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. We finally have open lines. We can get you on fairly quickly. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. We have a comment from Kathy, who said, I worked in long-term care, and yes, we need to keep people connected in their community, in their neighborhoods, and friends and families. Most people we work with want to stay in their home. Many times their family want them somewhere safe, which means a facility. The reality is we don't have or won't use the resources to pay for everyone to live in an assisted facility. As we become an older society, we have to figure out how to happily and safely age in place in our homes. Yeah. Larry, Chad would probably agree with that 100%.
Well, the cities are realizing this already, particularly like somewhere in Boston, and where there's three-level flats that there's no way to put an elevator in, there's no way to get access. People have lived there for a long time. They don't have enough, and us as baby boomers are taking up more and more space that we're going to have to make modifications to existing homes or make more livable homes. And I've have already people that have come up to us at shows and said, I can see where I can't make modifications. I've sold my home. I'm looking for a ranch in a neighborhood that I would like that I can make modifications to.
Yeah.
And, we're working on a home now that we actually bought ourselves a job, but it's a ranch home that needed extensive care and rehab, and we're going to make it accessible before we leave.
Well, Sue and Shauna, let's get you on here. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for having me on. I love your program, by the way. My husband listens to you every single day, and I'm off today, so I'm listening. I just wanted to talk about the change as far as right now. I'm 64. My husband's 67. I'm not retired yet. He is. But about 10 years ago, we remodeled to have like a master bedroom suite with a better bathroom with an elevated seat, the high toilet. And we're now working on the rest of the house. I'm trying to decide, though, it's very difficult. Maybe your contractor might have some ideas. We would like to put the laundry room up here and maybe eliminate a small bathroom, and we're still kind of in the process of that. But definitely it's paid off a lot in the bathroom that we have redone. So I will hang up and let you guys answer me.
All right. Thanks for calling. Comments, Larry?
We've done many laundry facilities that we brought up from the basement or brought up to the second floor. If it's very easy to take over a closet area, put what's called a Guy Gray box for connection for the laundry and just put it in simply in a closet, that's the least expensive way to do it. We did it, I remember, for a younger couple that she had three small children and her husband, and all the laundry is being generated on the top floor, and she had to go to the basement. And, she just moved it. And age had nothing to do with it. It's just that's where it was all produced. And for resale, if they want to convert that or need that closet space, they can just take the laundry out and use where it was in the basement. But that doesn't happen very often.
No. I'm telling you, two homes ago, we decided to move the laundry from the basement to the second floor where the bedrooms are, which is where you take your clothes off and so forth. And so that worked so good, so well, that when we moved this last time and we did this extensive remodel, we did the same thing. We put it on the second floor where the bedrooms are, and it's so handy, handy.
When we do bathrooms, we always recommend in remodeling, because you're talking about a smaller bath, to try to get the door as wide as possible, And also to make sure that if you're going to keep a vanity, that you do the entire floor, even underneath the vanity. So if you want to take it out or make modifications, you don't have to try to match into an area that wasn't tiled. That's one recommendation I make. I don't like to see bathrooms being eliminated, just wearing my realtor's hat. Mm-hmm. The more baths, they always could be used for resale, but I do not see any devalue. That's a question people have. Is it lessen the value to have a shower versus a tub? I don't think so. Not in today's age.
I would agree. We do a lot of conversions and where we are eliminating the tub, basically, and putting in a functional shower that'll serve all ages. So
we have a walk-in shower on our third floor and the remodel we did, and it's wonderful for my 9-year-old daughter. We'll be taking a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with our guests. Please stay with us. Taking a look at creating a home that's accessible for you and all of your friends. Home improvement and repair can be expensive, but I'll tell you what, if you've got some well-planned modifications, they can allow you to enjoy your home for your whole life instead of needing to move to a more accessible facility. Larry Mueller here with my guests today, Chad Spade of Chad's Carpentry in Madison and Larry Taff, owner of TZ of Madison. It's a family-owned business since 1992. I have on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can go there and got links to both of their businesses. So I hope you'll do that. Take a look. Lots of callers online to visit as we talk about universal accessibility in homes. Char in Green Bay, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. One of my questions has been answered regarding the resale value of a bathroom with a shower. My other question is, there are two steps leading into the main floor of our home. And is there any way this could be changed other than using a chair and a rail? I've seen them advertised on TV. Is there any way it could be adapted to a simpler way? My knees are bad and I can't get up the steps.
Are the stairs outside the house?
No, they're inside.
So you come in the front entry.
And the side entry.
Or the side entry, and then there's a small
steps.
Small ramp, probably.
You step the breezeway into the house, and there are two steps to get to the main floor.
Okay.
We've been using a ramp to get my wheelchair in and out. But if there were only an easier way to adapt.
And the ramp is that another door?
That's the door.
Door.
Okay.
And
it may be able. I'd have to see the building, but you might be able to modify the entry door so that you eliminated those two steps and then had a ramp or were able to do some landscaping on the outside of the home so that you didn't have that two-step entry. That can get complicated, though.
Yeah. It sounds like you need somebody to take a look at it.
Right.
That's a hard one. But there are some possibilities there. So now who should Char contact again? We go to... go in the phone book and we look for somebody who is...
Try to find someone that's CAP certified or that's had that... where are you from?
Green Bay.
I would think in the Green Bay area, there are contractors, the Builders Association, or someone that would have some background in that. That's a large enough area.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for calling. Del in Madison, your turn. Hi, Del.
Yeah, and top of the afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
One of the things that we found very helpful, we have a 93-year-old mother-in-law who spends time with us and will eventually come to live with us, but we put in a stair lift that goes from our first floor to our lower level, where we have an apartment kind of a thing set up for her. And that allows her to move up and down. She's not very mobile, so it seems to make a big difference in her ability to come and stay with us. There is a company in Oconomowoc that makes these things, so it's been actually very nice.
Yeah,
they work very well. There's always a concern, just in the, as you mentioned, her ability to transfer from a chair or a walker and somebody watch her, because that can be a hazard.
She will always have to have help with that. There's no question about that. But at least this is a way for her to get to her own space in our house, and I think she appreciates that.
Yeah, and they're very easy to install.
Yeah, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. We have one in our church as well, and for folks getting from the main floor down to the cafeteria area of the church, and it seems to work very, very well. You can join in, too, with your questions or comments as we talk about universal door, buildings and homes, and creating a home that's accessible to everyone. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. We had somebody online. We lost that caller who installs elevators, which would have been fun to listen to hear about, too. Maybe he or she will call back. Someone wondered if you could give the universal door dimensions. Are there certain dimensions there?
Well, you know, an interesting thing to note is that the size of doors is one of the few things that has been affected by our concern with universal design. And so, for example, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed 20 years ago, I think, eventually the building code adopted standards which reflect that act, and that in effect has led to a minimum of a 32-inch door in and out of bedrooms and into bathrooms, and for just access around the house. And so often when we remodel a bathroom, if we change the footprint at all of that bathroom, we move a wall in any way, we have to make that door 32 inches, and many older homes do not have a 32-inch door. In reality, it's nice to have a 36-inch door going into a bathroom, because 32 can be pretty tight depending on what you're, you know, getting around in. So, you know, 32 or 36 inches is what we try to accommodate if we can, but it's always a compromise, because there's, in most homes, there's very limited space, and even if you're expanding the room, you have to accommodate the swing of that door, and so there are other things that can't be there if the door needs to be able to open and close. So.
Right. As big of concern is the door is right-angled turns and going from one area of the home to the other to minimize or make it the most direct route possible.
Yeah.
Because if you're in a chair or a walker, that takes a lot of energy to be able to go around a corner, and you also are banging up the walls and things like that. Particularly if you have a power chair, they take more space, and they've got more power that they'll take out a door or take out a drywalled wall.
Chris in Evansville, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call.
Thank you. Yeah, I have just a couple comments for reference. I think you have mentioned the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, and I haven't gone online to see what they have to offer, but I'm sure they have a wealth of information. And then in Madison, there's a group called the CPD, and it's a citizen disability group. One of their major issues a while ago, a couple years ago, was looking at new housing and specifically looking at legislation and what needs to be required for new housing to make it accessible. And they meet once a month. I believe they're still meeting downtown at the old courthouse, which is the post office building, and they would be a great source of information as well.
Great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah,
there are a number of associations in Madison that can give a lot of help. We're an island reality. When you get out of the Dane County, Fox Valley area, though, it's a lot different for the support. Madison is great. We've got, you know, public transportation, lots of hospitals, lots of support groups, but it's much more difficult when you get out in the rural areas.
And we've had a number of email comments from Bonnie wondered if, for example, if there are model homes anywhere in the state where people can see these types of accessible homes. Yeah, I would expect there are, Larry.
Yeah, right now the Madison Area Builders Association has a home. I have to say I haven't fortunately been able to get there because I've got too many other things, but there is a home that's supposed to be totally accessible. We actually had one of our homes on the tour last year, and the problem in having a tour of a home, particularly if it's occupied, is the privacy that the people have. There are showrooms. Marling Homeworks out of Janesville has accessible a bath area. I know Bella Domicile just has it. Wisconsin Supply, First Supply. There are a lot of places that have also Kohler, and Kohler, Wisconsin has a number of bath vignettes that you can visit. So there's a lot of places out there.
And Larry, I think you're referring to, as far, you started out talking about a home on the MABA tour. That would
yes.
be the parade of homes that's
yeah.
going on right now. And so
Madison Area Builders Association.
Right.
Yeah.
So if anyone listening is interested in seeing that, I know that tour is ongoing now for, I think, at least another week.
It's another week, I think. It's so, a 14-day tour.
Yeah.
So there we go. Thank you. We had a question about from Judy in Lodi, commenting here. Adele said that about her question, which was she was having trouble with her door and in her apartment. And Adele called to say that landlords can talk to their city or county housing office about grant funds. Are there grant funds available to help make their rental properties more accessible? There may or may not be.
Could be.
That's yeah. You have to talk to your county. The first place of contact would be in Lodi's in Columbia County, to see if there's any programs available.
We have a plumber, Alan, wanted to share that the new higher toilets are such a help with getting on and off that grab bars aren't needed if you've got a tall enough bathroom.
Well, and it also. Budget is always concerned. They have toilet seats that have anywhere from 2 to 4, 6 inches that can raise the height of the toilet without having to change out the toilet.
Which is, yeah, another cost saving there,
right.
For sure. Yeah. Debbie called and mentioned that accessibility does accessibility remodeling or did it, and an important element for her was to elevate the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So she needed that dishwasher to be higher, and
laundry facilities, front loading laundry also we've raised yep. make more accessible,
and yep. that and it makes it easier for any person to use
right.
these improvements. You know, it's another
yeah,
example of how it just improves your quality of life, no matter what your abilities.
Faucets for kitchens, sinks.
Yeah,
who says it has to be on the back of the sink? Many times we put it to the side.
Yeah.
So you don't have to reach back so far. The same
Why
with
not?
The same with switching for a disposal or a light over a sink. We're doing a kitchen for a couple right now that we're moving both of those switches right in front of the sink itself, and then opening the sink so that she can wheel in under the sink. The same with cooktops, ovens rather than the door. Coming down and having a hot surface in front of you that most
yeah.
of them fold down. Now they come and they open from the side.
Oh, I didn't even know. I didn't know that.
How many the old cabinets? None of them have pull-out shelving. We many times will come in and install, modify the cabinets so that you have full pull-out shelves, and you have to make sure that they're designed so that they carry the weight, because if you've got it full of canned goods, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, absolutely a lot of weight. Well, Cindy in Duluth, Minnesota has a question for you. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. I have a question about flooring systems. On a new construction project, what would they recommend for a flooring system? I've read a little bit about it, and they say that like a concrete concrete with ceramic tile is a good surface for holding up to they have like the heavy duty power chairs and some of the the wheeled equipment. But that wouldn't be very fall friendly, and I'm wondering if you could make a recommendation or maybe discuss the floor coverings. Flooring systems, that would be good.
I prefer to use real hardwood floors because most of them are grown in sustainable forests within 500 miles of here. We, years ago when green came out, would put bamboo and cork, which we still do, but when you consider how far they are and that they have a very small surface that's actually finished, you get a real 3/4 inch solid material. I think it can be refinished and it works the nicest. If you're in a wheelchair or a walker or even something to help aid you, having thick neck carpet is just like trying to go through a swamp.
Right.
And it's harder to clean. So a load, if you have to go to a carpet, which would be fall friendly, but I don't know if those words go together.
No.
You have to try to minimize the danger for fall, and the easier it is to negotiate on the surface, the better. One of the caution I would make that we found with ceramic tile in wet or bath areas is to actually get some of the tile, put it on the floor, and walk on it in your bare feet to see how easily you slip on it or how abrasive it is. We had one bath that we did that the fellow wanted a very aggressive tile on the floor, and his wife was in a wheelchair, and that actually, the rubber on the wheelchair wheels would come off, and it made it more difficult, and I don't think they needed that aggressive of surface. So it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy.
Yep.
Appreciate the call. We had a Facebook comment from Linda. We built a house for disability aging issues 5 years ago, and she says, there are two excellent independent living centers that have model homes demonstrating products. One's in Green Bay, one in Wausau. You can arrange tours, and it helped a lot to see the items. The independent centers are options for independent living in Green Bay and access for independent living in Wausau. So kind of going along with what you were talking about earlier. Let's see. We had a Facebook comment from Sarah, who wanted to put a shout-out for her profession of occupational therapy. Occupational therapists are experts on what people can functionally do, and they the equipment, environment they need based on their own specific disability or disease process. OTs can work with contractors to give the best design for that person. I've been in many houses that are ADA compliant or that a contractor has made accessible, but don't necessarily work for the individual, as we were talking about earlier, Larry.
No, that's very true.
Yeah. And let's see, I think I had one more in here that I wanted to mention. Michelle commented, she says she'd like to point out that there a grab bar installed in the shower is important for young people too. I've had several surgeries and the grab bar was helpful to hold on to when I was feeling woozy or weak.
Yeah, that's true. Somebody had mentioned before having bad experiences with towel bars. Towel bars are not designed as grab bars. And if you're going to make modifications, put a grab bar in to replace a towel bar. You're much safer. The handheld showers with the hose on them, most of those vertical slides that those fit on are not grab bars. People think that they are. They're not designed. So many times when I'm, well, the majority, I recommend that they get a system that actually is a grab bar and it slides up and down rather than just being a bar. Because when you least expect it, that's not going to support you, or it wasn't correctly fastened into the wall.
Yeah. You know, one area we haven't really mentioned is the outside very much. We haven't talked about the exterior. What about the exterior spaces? Anything there?
Well, we have a challenge in this wonderful winter wonderland when it comes to freezing. Because we have the ice, the thing called ice, black ice. You have to realize that if you're in a wheelchair or a walker, you need to have a minimum of a 112 pitch on a walkway, which means if you have 12 inches of height going into your home, you need to be able to, 1 foot, you need to have a ramp that goes out 12 feet. So you can see if you have a home that's 3 feet high, you have an extremely long ramp and you have to have cutbacks back and forth. So in my own home, as an example, my front entry has got 6 steps. When I made modifications a few years ago, I re-landscaped the back of the home. And by the way, I'm a klutz. A few years ago, fell and dislocated my shoulder and broke my ankle at the same time. Well, because I had made that walkway coming around, I was able to just put a temporary ramp in that I still use now. I just take it out of the garage, and when my mother and father-in-law have to visit, I can plunk it down to go up that short step. That wouldn't comply to code, but it still allows for visiting.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, this has been great. We've had a lot of good questions and calls from people, and you guys have given us a lot of information to think about in terms of creating our homes, you know, and make them accessible for everyone. And I want to thank you very much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Great time.
Thanks, Larry.
Really a lot of fun talking with Chad Spate of Chad's Carpentry in Madison. And Larry Taff, who owns TZ of Madison Incorporated, family-owned business since 1992. And I would invite you to go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We have links to their businesses, and you can learn a little bit more by going there. Just a quick mention that I'll be broadcasting from the Renewable Energy Fair next Friday, June 21st. Judith will be with me, and it's going to be a lot of fun, so I hope to see a lot of you there at that event. Tomorrow, Melinda Myers joins us for Garden Talk. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.